right, everyone, welcome on into episode number 21-ish of Out and About. I'm sitting here with Kate.
Part of the pod intro should be that every episode you're never quite sure what episode we're on.
That's become
a trend. I like it.
Oh, was that part of the pod?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're keeping this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
No, I like actually don't know, though.
Nope, you never do.
All right,
18-ish, 20-ish, 21-ish?
We're 21. We don't know what it is. But we're excited for this episode. We have Perez Hilton. For those of you who don't know who Perez Hilton is, Google him. He's the OG TMZ. He was a blogger who essentially created the way that celebrities are talked about today. He was the guy who thrived on scandal. He thrived on being mean. He thrived on exposing celebrities like news outlets hadn't done before. He was the original online bully.
Yeah.
So he was on BFFs last week. He's on our show today. We're going to talk to him a little bit about his relationship with the gay community, which he had a lot to say about, and everything else that's going on in the world. We're also going to play a fun game called Headlines.
What does he think of Dave Portnoy after going on his podcast?
We're going to get into all of it. Do you have anything you want to preview this with? Because like we recap it at the end because this was such an interesting interview.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything you want to.
It's an interesting person. No, off the top of my head. At one point, it won't be an interview, but he's a single dad of three kids who are, and he says their ages and everything, but they're young and made him a little more relatable to me that in the beginning he was stressed. There was a lawnmower going outside. His kids were at home walking in with books and crayons and whatever, like that kind of thing. And I was like, actually, don't stress about that, Perez. That makes you much more relatable to people right now who are pretty much stuck at home with their kids. So I kind of liked that.
It definitely humanized them. So again, he really didn't hold back on anything here. It was a part of it was like we were sitting in a therapy session with him. He did our version of a tell-all, so we hope you guys enjoy. Here is Perez Hilton. We're very excited to have him here. We just talked about him before he came on. It's the legendary Perez Hilton joining us live from, where are you, Los Angeles right now?
I am. I feel like I need to set the stage.
Okay.
I'm in Los Angeles, and as many of you probably know, the COVID situation here is out of control.
Yeah.
Which means that my children, I have three kids, ages 7, 5, and 3. They're not in school. They actually have not been on campus since March of last year. And they're home right now. My bedroom where I'm at right now is kind of the only quiet place that I have. But literally outside my window right now, my gardener is mowing the lawn. And it's like this underneath layer of like frustration. But if you hear the noise, it's just a reminder that we're in unprecedented times and you just have to keep going, keep putting one foot in front of the other and making the best of the situation. This might not be the ideal sound-wise for our chat, but we got to work with what we have.
You got a positive attitude, Perez. You got a positive attitude. You started your blog in like late 2004. Within 6 months, that blog had blown up. I think it started as page666.com, and then it went to perezhilton.com. The traffic on that website was incredible, partially because the way that you reported on celebrities was unlike anything else out there. Can you talk a little bit about your idea to start the website, how you started it, and then your philosophy in terms of how you were reporting on people?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to me that I've been doing what I do now longer than most of the popular influencers today have been born for, that they've been alive. So I just started as a hobby, really, kind of like how most people do. The difference is there was no blueprint before me. There was no roadmap of if you do this and you work really hard doing this, then that might be able to happen for you. You know, because I started before there really was social media. In 2004, there was no YouTube or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or TikTok. Facebook was still only for college students and invite only in 2004. I began with like the precursor to social media. Basically, it was this tool called Blogspot or Blogger. I don't even know if that exists anymore. But I loved that this natural curiosity that I had. For me, it was about sharing. I've always been a sharer and a people person. I loved connecting with people. And I always wanted to be authentic to who I was. at the time, celebrity coverage was very different for many reasons, but one of them was, as you mentioned, Patrick, how you talked about celebrities and how you talked to your audience was different. I wanted my readers to feel like they were my friends from the very beginning, and they were. I spoke to them as if they were my friends, and I talked about these celebrities like they were normal people. At the time, it was that big trend also of stars, they're just like us. So you would see all of those photos in the celebrity magazines of celebrities going to take the garbage out or doing the most boring, mundane things. The magazines have evolved a little bit from then because we've seen enough celebrities taking the garbage out. But, you know, I didn't make any money doing my little blog for the first entire year. I talk about actually in my new memoir that came out a few months ago, how getting fired by Bonnie Fuller, who used to be the editor-in-chief of Us Weekly, and then she moved on to Star, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. Because while I was starting the first few months of my blog, I had worked many jobs. I had ended up in New York City working full-time at Star, and they never asked me to quit my little website, which I always thought was hilarious because in hindsight, it was such a conflict of interest. But I kept my blog going and was working at Star. I hated it. I was there for a little over 6 months. I hated it because I sucked at it, you know? I'm great at many things, but I'm not great at stalking people and trying to get information from hotel workers and that. It felt gross and seedy and scary. Like, I got kicked out of the Mercer Hotel on assignment that when Russell Crowe threw a hotel a telephone at a hotel worker in the spring of 2005, and I was crying, please don't arrest me. My mother would be so ashamed. So I knew I wasn't cut out for that. And then when I got fired, sometimes what you think is the worst thing that can happen to you ends up being the best thing for you. Because by getting fired, I had stayed long enough at that job that I was able to collect unemployment. And that unemployment is then what helped me devote myself to my little blog full time. And when I started to pour all of my time, heart, energy, resources, every waking hour into my blog, that's when it really exploded and I started making money doing it.
What was the traffic like at its height? Because that's always been something that's been disputed. You said on an average day you had
millions. Yeah. Millions upon millions of readers a day. Because like I said, it was a less crowded space back then. I mean, I began before even TMZ. I gave TMZ the idea to start their website.
You walked so they could run.
You are the Demois. You are the original Demois, essentially. Yeah. But you mentioned it when you were talking about the way you talked about celebrities. It was like you were talking to your friends. You didn't talk about celebrities in a nice way. Like a lot of people, a lot of people hated you. Like just to be completely real,
a lot of people still hate me.
How are you like rebranding yourself? Because you disappeared for a while and now you're coming back. Like it's not like an apology tour per se, but it's like,
oh, I'm done with that. That was last year. I've been talking about it with my therapist a lot. It's like I will say I'm sorry if somebody that I personally affected wants to speak to me. But in interviews, like I've said that, I've done that. I've apologized countless times. It's like, I own it. I accept everything. I accept that people still hate me. Many people think that I deserve the hate and I deserve all of those bad things. I know that I don't. I know that I do things very differently, but we also live in a world where folks don't want to let others grow and evolve, and they want to keep seeing you as that first iteration of yourself. It's hard for a lot of folks to pivot and be seen in different ways. I carry with me a ton of baggage, but you know what? All of those holier-than-thou people, they all have baggage too. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I know that I'm doing better and trying to do better and continuing to do better, but I've let go of and I'm just having fun. Like literally I'm having fun. And like recently, actually, I've been spending a lot of time on this new app, Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting paid to mention this. I'm just like, it's my new addiction. And I spoke about it in therapy. And I thought my therapist was not going to be happy about it because I've been spending a lot of time on this new app. But he said it's great because we're still in the middle of a pandemic. We need to be reminded of that. And it's hard for us to connect with each other. And on this app, I am able to be all aspects of myself. I told him.
What is it? It's just like, it's a dating app, or it's like a friendship app? It's called Clubhouse?
No, it's this new audio only social media networking. It's like basically you have rooms and people host chats. And all different kinds of topics are being talked about. A lot of bros and Silicon Valley types are loving it because it's exclusive. It's invite only right now. But I was telling my therapist, I hosted a room about parenting. I hosted another room about for gay people, like a gay happy hour. And he said, you know what? I love that your initial inclination was not to host something about being a celebrity or an influencer or growing this or money. He's like, you're nourishing all aspects of yourself and connecting with people on a human level as Mario, the real you, underneath the persona of Perez Hilton.
Who stuck by your side?
Who's stuck by my side? My mother, obviously.
Like in celebrity wise too. Like people have everyone can be critical of people, but has there been one person who's just like stuck by your side throughout this?
More than stuck by my side. Not even in December. Most of 2020, I was massively, severely, very unhealthily depressed. And it all came to a breaking point in December when I had a very public emotional breakdown. And one of my dearest, longest celebrity friends, since you asked that, the singer Jewel, who's a gay icon.
Yes, of course.
She didn't even just reach out to me. She reached out to me, had me on the phone for an hour. And I know she's busy and a mother. And she went over and wrote down some really practical, helpful tips for me to work on my mindfulness. She gave me homework even, which I did, and I was excited to do it. She said, I want you to keep a thought journal. And it was really fascinating that first week, a lot of the thoughts that kept bubbling up, for me it was, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. It's almost like why last year I kept apologizing so much, because I had bought into the public's perception that I am an awful person and I don't deserve forgiveness and I deserve to be hated. I was believing that. That's what my brain was telling me last year, I apologize. And then I switched all that and I was like, you know what? Compassion. You are worthy of this. You do deserve happiness and all of these things. And I do have a happy life. I am blessed that I am able to provide for my family, that I have my mother living with me and I'm very close to her, and that I have, and my son just came in right now.
What's up, buddy? How's it going?
You wanted to show me this? He just did a book at school.
Wow.
They just said, wow. Can I look at this in a little bit? Because I'm doing an interview now. But I love the cover that you did. It's gorgeous.
More skilled than I am in the art department. That's so great. That's for sure.
I am happy. It's just about working now towards being even happier and actually unpacking a lot of my past trauma and pain. And that actually began even before I started in therapy. It began in August of last year when I got into the booth to record the audio version of my memoir. Writing the book, my autobiography, was easy. It just flowed out of me. But when it came time to perform it and really read it out loud for an audience, it was really painful, especially talking about my dad dying when I was 14 years old. And in talking to my therapist, this might sound stupid, I've realized that I never mourned my dad's death. Because at 14, oftentimes you don't have the emotional or intellectual maturity or the tools to process something like that. So I buried and buried and buried and never dealt with it. And only now am I dealing with it and realizing the effect that that had on me and how that informed all of the decisions that I made in my life, both good and bad. And, you know, just for me, All I care about right now is being the best dad possible. Nothing else matters to me. Everything else matters to me as well, clearly. But but that's like, I'm that's my
number one. That's number one.
Yeah, and I'm actually really thankful for my depression last year. I'm really thankful for the pandemic last year, even though I wish it didn't happen, because it all forced me to make major life changes that I am keeping up and I will forever. You know, if some folks listening maybe are on the younger side and they want to know like the secret to my success, what I tell everybody, the number one thing is to have an unhealthy work ethic. An unhealthy work ethic, because I'm the perfect example. And we see it today time and time again. Social media and the internet, it all happens so quickly. You might be able to luck your way into success, but you will not sustain success without an incredible work ethic. That's why most of my peers and even most of the celebrities that I started talking about 17 years ago aren't around anymore, because for 17 years I was working like a crazy person, and I still do, but I made a big life change as a result of last year in my depression. For 16 years, this is sick, for 16 years, I would get only 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night, almost every night, because I was constantly working or at an event or doing this or that or being a dad. And I did not give myself the permission to take care of my body and to sleep. But now I am forcing myself to get 8 hours of sleep every night. And I feel like a different person.
You look good too. You look different. You've lost weight. You look healthy. You look happy. Clearly your relationship with your kids is great. They're just poking in, showing you, showing you the books. We love that and everything.
Relatable for many right now.
Yes, very. Kate's actually expecting. She's, what, 7 months pregnant?
Waiting for my first.
Oh my God. So amazing.
I should have joined your clubhouse the other night when you were talking about parenting.
Oh, in the club. Well, go ahead, Perez.
I'll have more about parenting. I think it's important to have a space there, because, you know, like that app, like there's so many rooms about being a millionaire or an entrepreneur or all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's great, but everybody's doing that. Like sometimes it's just great. And I love bringing everybody up on stage, new people, not even like important or powerful people. Cause sometimes people do that just like to explode their room. I want to hear from normal people, because there's value in what everybody has to say. And I also like making everybody feel special. And people get up there and they share their stories, and it's a really beautiful thing.
If you have a suburban Philly dirtbag night, please let me be the first to speak. I'd love to.
Wait, but you talked about the rooms, and you talked about how you did a room with gay people and stuff, right?
Yeah.
LGBTQ community. You have a history of outing gay people. You've outed Clay Aiken. You've outed Lance Bass, Neil Patrick Harris, Anderson Cooper, Jodie Foster, Kevin Spacey, Queen Latifah. These are all people in the LGBTQ community who had a major problem with the way that you went about talking about their sexuality before they were able to talk about it. Do you regret the way you talked, the way you talked about their sexuality? And if they were here right now, is there anything that you would say to them?
I definitely regret it. Absolutely. And I'm like that dude now, or girl, or whomever. I'm that person who constantly is talking about therapy, because I actually did talk about this in therapy this week. Mm-hmm. I said there was a level of fear that the room might go south on me, as they say, and turn into this like nightmare. And it sort of did, but not because of that. I was actually shocked and saddened that over the hour and a half that we were chatting, 4 different homophobic trolls popped in and said really gross, disgusting, homophobic things. And I'm like, wow, in 2021, that's still happening. I don't need to repeat what they said, but that shocked me. Thankfully, that space that I created, I would have addressed anything, but it didn't go there. I'm happy to go there. I definitely regret it. And I carry with me deep shame. At the time, I would justify what I was doing by tying it to what I said a few minutes ago. You know, I'm just talking to my friends. My friends and I talk about closeted celebrities all the time. Mm-hmm. So why should I treat my online friends different than I do my in real life friends? But I don't do that anymore. I've only done that once over the last 10 years. And that was with somebody that I knew. And actually he passed away a few months ago, the Sultan of Brunei's son. I outed him after the Sultan of Brunei enacted Sharia law.
Yeah. And just to be clear too, like I'm not, this isn't like a got you thing. Yeah.
It's just
when you, I know you'll talk about anything and I find it super interesting and I know our audience will find it interesting.
And it's like
when you Google, you know, Perez Hilton, you know, these things. And part of the philosophy that I read about too with it is like, I feel that especially with closeted athletes, I'm like, come out. Like, what are you doing? Come out of the closet. So, like, I get from your perspective why it was like, just come out. It'll be better for people to come out. But it was interesting to hear, you know, how things have changed and how your opinion of that has changed.
Well, you know what's fascinating is that now the mainstream media outs celebrities all the time. And there is also definitely a double standard. It's absolutely acceptable when it's a woman that starts dating another woman. The media will jump on it and report it and start talking about it right away, even if that female celebrity hasn't come out. Mm-hmm. When it comes to a gay man that's not publicly out, they still talk about it in code. Like, oh, he was spotted with his roommate.
Right.
And they still talk about it without saying he's gay or without talking about the relationship. And I don't need to mention the names of the people that they do this to, because that would be me outing them, but that happens. And it's fascinating how that's evolved and this double standard also when talking about women. I don't even have an opinion on it. That's just, I was talking about that's what's happening now.
But outside of like Clubhouse and the internet and stuff, in your real everyday life in LA, I look at things like the Bible, like before and after, and like pre-COVID and post-COVID. But in your pre-COVID life, when we all had social lives and we could go out, I mean, there was kind of, and like you said, it's been like 10 years since you even did anything like that. But the stigma of outing people sticks with you. It's something that like it pops to Perez Hilton, that pops to mind. Like, how has that affected your social life in the LA gay community?
I mean, I have my gay friends and it's my community, but it's definitely affected my dating life because as I tell my therapist, and he just listened, he didn't chime in. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell him this week. This is kind of an ongoing, although we did bring it up again this week too. But it was, I think, our very first session when
he
started working together.
So he'll hear it.
I don't think this is an opinion. I truly believe this is a fact that the overwhelming majority of gay men don't even just dislike me. They hate me. Mm-hmm. So as a gay man who would like to find a husband, that's hard because most gay men won't want to date me. They judge me for my past. They judge me for my present. This is why I was talking about it with my therapist. I told him I'm happy. And I said, I know that when I post silly dancing videos on Instagram, a lot of gay men frown upon me for that. They think I'm stupid or effeminate, or they'll mock, like, aren't you too old? Or they're ageist. Aren't you too old for that? Or all these other things, right? And I said, I know that me doing silly dancing videos hurts my chances with men, but I don't care. I do it anyways because it makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I do believe that I deserve love. I know that I am a great partner. I have been in relationships while I've been Perez Hilton, and I have been an awesome boyfriend. And I do believe that it will happen for me. It's just going to take an exceptional man who can deal with all of the baggage, the very public baggage that I bring. Because mm-hmm. you both, I don't know your baggage, you've got private baggage. Mine is very public. And even if somebody is willing to take a chance to date me, I know their friends and family will be like, ew, you're going on a date, you're dating, ew, you're dating, why are you doing that? Ew. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that comes with dating me, and it's gonna take a very strong, that's awesome. I deserve a strong, amazing, exceptional husband and life partner.
If you could do though, like, it's your career that did that to you, that did that to you. If you could trade one for the other, if you could say, I won't have the career, but at this point in my life, I'd be happily married, would you do it?
If I was happily married, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that would have to, no. I would have to be happily married forever. So that's the thing. I would need to know, God would need to tell me, or this magic, like, because I wouldn't want to be happily married and then and not work out, unfortunately, like most relationships. If my magic wish was your career as it is, or you're happily married forever, I would choose happily married, because my life is full and I am happy, but life is even more full and rounded with a partner.
Of course.
You know, my mother is more than a mother and more than a friend. She is an amazing support, and so are my kids, but they don't give me what a partner would, what a husband would.
Are you down to play a game right now? We want to play.
I'm down for whatever.
You okay. Sound like Saul.
Okay, we want to play. Okay. Prez, it's gonna happen for you. Like you said, it's just gonna it's gonna take time. It takes time. It takes time for everyone. You seem like an awesome guy. I know we just met, okay. But we asked you some questions that were like kind of hard hitting. But this is the stuff.
No, they weren't.
This is the stuff that people want to hear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is what, when you think Prez Hilton, you think controversy, and we are right now. We're gonna go back a little bit to the old style Perez. So let's transform ourselves back into 2010, 9 or 10 for this video. Okay, you ready? And there will be music that plays under this when we cut the promo. All right. This game is called Headlines. Perez Hilton knows how to make a headline. He also knows how to stir up controversy. I'm going to show you a picture of a person in the news right now, and you give us the one question you would ask if you were trying to make a headline.
All right.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Here's person number one. Armie Hammer.
Would you bite me?
Okay.
Because that would take it to the next level. Then I would have quite a story.
If you volunteered to sacrifice yourself, I mean.
That's quite the sacrifice.
Yeah, going all the way.
Picture number two. We have Joe Biden.
Explain to me why I should want to unite with racists and homophobes.
Okay. All right. That'll definitely be a headline. Number three, Charli D'Amelio.
What would I ask her? What are your thoughts on me?
I mean, that's part of another part. I'm just going to break up the game really quick. But I mean, you were just on Dave's podcast talking about it. Currently, are you back on TikTok yet or no?
Nope, I'm still banned from TikTok, which is weird because I know I didn't do anything to truly merit being banned. They're just using loopholes, meaning I did post videos that went against their community service guidelines by posting a lot of Black Lives Matter videos and by posting a lot of Karen videos. Karen videos people can and do consider them bullying, but I was sharing videos that I thought were newsworthy. It was clearly a targeted attack and a way to get me off the app because I was also critical of popular influencers on TikTok that were doing dumb things like partying during the pandemic, hosting parties and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's fine. I don't need TikTok. I'm bigger than TikTok. My world did not crumble. I was sad, but that was all because I was so depressed. And that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say.
All right, let's go to the next one. We have right here Lindsay Lohan. You have a history with Lindsay Lohan.
I still talk to Lindsay all the time. I would ask her, why did you not listen to my advice about Paris?
Okay, I love it. We actually
I'll share with you the quick advice that I gave her. Mm-hmm. You guys may know that in late 2020, Paris Hilton came out with a documentary, which was very well received. I DM'd Lindsay because we talk all the time, and I said you should publicly congratulate Paris on her documentary. And she said, "Well, I haven't watched it yet." And I'm like, that's not the point. You could just say congratulations on your new documentary. And she never did it. Yeah. I was like, it would be a good look for you. It would just be a nice thing to do and a good look for you. And she never did it. And I would like to know why she didn't take my good advice.
Yeah. Well, bring her on out and about and we can all talk about it together.
Reel her in for us.
How's that sound? All right, we're going to go to our next one. We got a few more here. We can fire these off. Britney Spears, what do you got? You know she's doing the concert. She has the conservatorship issues. She has all that shit going on.
I would ask her, what one thing would make you the happiest right now?
Oh, that's a great question.
That you don't have or that you're not doing or that if you could change, what one thing would that be?
Okay, we'll keep going here. We got a few more. Kylie Jenner.
I would ask Kylie Jenner, are you happy?
Okay, let's go on. We're going to skip this next. Maybe we don't. Go ahead. You can ask the Donald a question. Fuck it. He's gone. He's deplatformed. You can ask him a question.
What is your biggest regret during the 4 years you spent in the White House? Mm-hmm. I don't even like using the P word to talk about him.
Yeah. Okay. And now these last two, we're not going to do questions. I'm going to have you describe these people in one word. How would you describe Dave Portnoy in one word?
Icon.
Solid. He is going to love that.
Yeah.
So much. Okay.
Well, I'm curious, though. I don't think I was looking at, because I'm very plugged in and I engage with my followers and other followers. And I was looking at the comments from my appearance on Dave's podcast. And a lot of people kept saying, like, he was giving it to me. I'm like, I didn't think he was. I didn't view it that way. And then a lot of other people are like, oh, he doesn't like you. And I'm like, he doesn't? I don't know. Maybe my question would be, not that I care either way, but I'm curious to like maybe like set the record straight for his audience. Do you like Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good question. I like that. And those are just internet trolls. Like those people aren't real people. And we got one more last one here. It's a joint photo. Kim and Kanye, fresh off the divorce announcement. Very sad.
I'm saying one word.
Or a question. You can do either.
Okay, peace. I truly wish them both peace, especially Kanye, because we know that he is struggling with serious mental health issues. People often forget that. And those serious mental health issues most likely are what led to the demise of his marriage. And they've got 5 children together. And she, I'm sure, had to deal with more than we ever would know behind the scenes. But thank God that she's got a ginormous family and support system to be there for her and lift her up when she's down.
I love that so much. Well, Perez, thank you very much for taking the time to come on this podcast. We heard you were on Dave Portnoy's show and we talked to our talent lady and we're like, we just have to get you on. So we hope that you'll come back next time you have something to promote or if you just want to chat.
I'm happy to.
Do you have anything else?
I do. So now you've come out with the memoir. You're still doing the site. You're still updating that. So that site's still going. You have your memoir out.
I've got my own podcast. If people enjoyed me on here, you could listen to the Paris Hilton podcast with Chris Booker on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or directly at PerezPodcast.com. To answer your question that you haven't asked yet, what's next for me?
Yeah.
I really have always tried to be entrepreneurial and diversify and pivot and grow and change and evolve. And I continue to make that a priority. So I am launching a business this year, a brand new business that I've never done before that even won't have my name in the title. And I will not be the face of it because I would love, and the goal is for it to succeed and to be bigger than me. So I'm working really hard on that right now. I think that it's an opportunity, something in the marketplace that isn't totally oversaturated yet. And I believe in it and I'm excited for it and continuing to do all the other things that I do and focus on my health and happiness and, you know, continue to mentor people. I also mentor a ton of people. If either of you have any advice you need, slide into my DMs. I tell that to everybody. I actually check my DMs and I actually respond to everybody. Well, not everybody. If it's like, oh, you know, haha, responding to an Instagram story, I may not respond to that, but you know, I try to be very responsive and I wake up, this sounds so cheesy. I'm a cheesy person. I wake up every morning with so much gratitude that I'm healthy, that my family is healthy, that 17 years later, I'm still here and I still love all the things that I do. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, Perez, we'll be keep our eyes and ears out for whatever it is, your top secret project. And once that launches, you got to come back on and talk about it. But again, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. Make sure you check out Perez's podcast at PerezHiltonPodcast.com. Did I get that right?
PerezPodcast.com.
PerezPodcast.com. Then you can...
I wanted to make it shorter for people.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, Perez, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Ooh, all right. Perez Hilton can talk.
Yeah. Yes. He's got a gift. He's got a gift for Gab. I'll say, doing the research leading up to this podcast and just saying, as somebody who started looking at his blog, like when I was in college, like over a decade ago, and then seeing the trajectory that he went on and seeing it get tainted by things like outing people and bullying and stuff like that. I definitely had an idea in my head, but, and maybe I'm a softie, but it does sound like, obviously he's talking about therapy a ton, but it does sound like, I don't think it's ever too late for anybody. Looks like he's trying to keep turning the page. He said he's done with his apology tour. He admits that he's sorry for things and that things, he didn't go about things the right way. So I think, I don't know what's next, quite next for him, but I think he'll kind of continue on the same.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever be as big as he was.
Yeah.
I think he's been throttled and he's been sidelined just because he was so nasty to people for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got it figured out. It was funny, like, when he was talking to us, it was almost like he was in therapy.
Yeah.
I liked, I said to him in the middle of the interview, I was like, listen, this isn't a gotcha thing.
Right.
But, like, every podcast needs a promo, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, we got to ask you about outing people. And I also thought it was interesting how he said all gay people, the majority of gay men hate him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of that is just in his head and how much of it is true. Because I know definitely, like, there's a lot of people who don't like him, but there's also a lot of people who do like him.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's I honestly, I don't know. I was a mixed bag. Even researching it up until the interview, I was like, do I like this guy or not? I have no idea. And afterwards, you know, I feel like he's somebody, like everybody else, sorting through life. The path he took, he was a trailblazer in the celeb blogging world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the first to do something, usually you learn a lot the hard way. And I feel like he was also a pioneer in learning this blogging game the hard way.
He's like, we talked like a little about I forgot what I was going to say, but basically, no matter what you say about Perez Hilton, when you hear his name, you have an opinion, and that's fucking valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. He was I would say he was a household name.
Like, he is absolutely. He's still a household name, and his website hasn't been relevant in fucking years. I mean, it's like coming back now, but TMZ pushed him out and kind of like took over that. And they developed relationships that weren't toxic with celebrities because they didn't report on them with, like, strictly opinion. It was more just fact.
But even they fall in it, too. Step in it from time to time. It's just the nature of the business sometimes, I guess. And you do need the, like you said, sometimes you just need the clicks. You need the page views. You got to put that promo out there. Say that one little thing that you know is going to get a little.
I get it.
Yeah,
I definitely get it, Perez. He's a trailblazer. So, I don't know. I'd give that. How would you rate that interview on a 1 to 10? Not Perez. We're rating the interview, not Perez.
It was good. I think he's been asked the tough questions so many times now, and I like that he said, "I'm done the apology tour. I'm done. I can only atone so much, and moving forward, I'm interested to see if his tactics really do change or if it's
that." And then I wanted to be like, "Dude, a month ago, you got kicked off of TikTok for bullying. Like, you know what I mean?" So it was interesting. So that's it for Thursday's episode. Thank you very much to Perez Hilton. Thank you to Kate for sticking along and riding along on this journey. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Oh, and follow us on Out and About Pod Social on Twitter and Instagram. Mm.